Agatam samagamya Krishnasya anucharam priyam Nanda prita pariswaja Vasudeva diyachayat Agatam arrive Samagamya approaching Krishnasya of Krishna. Anucharam, the follower. Priyam, dear. Nanda, Nanda Maharaj. Prita, happy. Parishwaja, embracing. Vasudevadiya, thinking of Lord Vasudev. Achayat, worship. Translation. As soon as Uddhava arrived at Nanda Maharaj's house, home, Nanda came forward to meet him. The cowherd king embraced him in great happiness and worshipped him as non-different from Lord Vasudev. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Uddhava looked just like Nanda's son, Krishna, and gave pleasure to anyone who saw him. Thus, although Nanda was absorbed in thoughts of separation from Krishna, when he saw Uddhava coming towards his house, he became aware of external events and eagerly went out to embrace his exalted visitor. Tam agatam samagamya Krishnasya anucharam priyam Nanda prita parisvajya Vasudeva diyachaya. As soon as Uddhava arrived at Nanda Maharaj's home, Nanda came forward to meet him. The cowherd king embraced him in great happiness and worshipped him as non-different from Lord Vasudev. Om Agyananti Mandasya Kananjana Saskaya Saksamunitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gravaya Nama Namo Om Vishuddhaya Krishna Prasadhanaya Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pucharine Nimise Sasanyavadi Pasuchara Devishatarine. So we've been reading how Uddhava is actually a very confidential associate of Krishna. In fact, he looks like Krishna, has the same feature. In the Shastra, he described a different kind of liberation, five kinds of liberation. Out of the five kinds of liberation, the devotee may accept four of them, but they will not accept the fifth one, which is Sajuja. Merging into the Brahman or merging into the body of Krishna. But they may accept the other four, which is Sarupya, having the same form as the Lord, or living on the same planet, Salokya, or having the same opulence, and the other one was that? Remember? Yes, Salokya. Living in the same planet, same opulence, having the same body features. Having the association of the Lord. So these are a few kinds of liberation. So Uddhava has the same form like Krishna. He's very, very close. He's a nephew. He's a nephew of Krishna. He's a cousin brother of Krishna, but also a very confidential associate. As you were saying the other day, when Krishna wants to deliver a message, he sends his very confidential associate. In fact, one who is delivering the message of Krishna is very, very confidential. Here Krishna is sending Uddhava to Vrindavan to send a message to the gopis. And later on in the 12th canto, I think 12th canto of Bhagavatam, you find Krishna again sent Uddhava to Badri Ashram with another message. It's a messenger. So when he came to Vrindavan, and Nanda Maharaj became aware of his presence, he received him very well. He received not only because he looked like Krishna, but also because he is coming from Krishna. Krishna sent him. So he received him very well. And he went out to embrace his exalted devotee. In fact, actually, the representative of the Supreme Lord is not different Like the spiritual master, in one sense, is not different because he's delivering the same message as Krishna. Even in the olden times, I think even European times, especially in China also, I mean, in the younger days, we see these old movies. Sometimes you have the messenger of the king going out to someone's, the nobleman's house or the battlefield. And as soon as the, even if he's maybe a very big general, and he hear that, oh, this is a messenger from the king, immediately they bow down to receive the message. And the servant will be reading out the message from the king, and even the general will be bowing down to receive that message. And whatever the king, the messenger said, they'll accept that as none different than the direct order of the king. I think in Europe also was like that. Messenger. So the messenger is not an ordinary position, especially. So it's being not an ordinary position. It's also carry a lot of responsibility to deliver the message unchanged. So one, whether one is receiving the instruction from Krishna directly, or whether receiving the instruction through his representative, is the same message. Prabhupada was saying that Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, surrender unto me, sava dhammam parityaja. And the spiritual master says, surrender to Krishna. No difference. Same message has been delivered. So, so when we are actually repeating the instructions that we learn from the spiritual master, or we hear from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, we are also being bona fide messengers, delivering of the message. And Prabhupada also said, just like a child, he may say, this is a microphone. And someone may question, you are a small child, what do you know about microphone? You say, well, I heard it from my father. My father said this is a microphone. So I'm repeating, this is a microphone. Is there anything wrong in the message? The child may not have much understanding of the intricacies and the working of the microphone. He may not have all the engineering background. But is there? Can anyone question that message? Can anyone deny that it is a microphone? No. So, the message of Krishna is given in Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes we may ask, oh, Arjuna is so fortunate. Krishna gave the message of Bhagavad Gita directly to Arjuna. I wish I'm so fortunate. But actually, the fortune is also there. The Bhagavad Gita is still there. The message of Bhagavad Gita is still there. Teachings of Krishna is still there. Is there any difference with what Krishna told Krishna told Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita than what we are reading from Bhagavad Gita? Hearing the same message that Krishna delivered 5,000 years ago and previous to that, long time ago. Same message. But the point is, how do we accept that message that has been delivered? Do we accept the message that is given with full faith? Or do we accept with doubts? In the beginning, Arjuna had a lot of doubts. He was putting forward so many doubts to Krishna. And Krishna was asking different questions, and Krishna was delivering Bhagavad Gita to him. And in the end, what did Arjuna say? He said, now all my doubts are vanquished. Now I'm ready to do what you want. Actually, that is the conclusion we come to when we read Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes people, they say, yeah, I've already read Bhagavad Gita. Or the best one is, I have Bhagavad Gita at home. I have read it. No. Or even if we have read Bhagavad Gita, so are all our doubts been vanquished? And are we ready to do what Krishna tells us? So if not, we keep reading. We keep reading and reading until we come to that understanding. It's the problem of Kali Yuga. Products of Kali Yuga, the brain is so dull. We have to hear it again and again and again and again. In the Vedic time, students, they will hear it one time. I think they are called Shruti Dara. They hear it one time and they will remember for life. See Krishna, he learned the 64 asks in 64 days. Early on in Bhagavatam, in the previous chapter, he learned, each day he was learning a new art. Of course, he's a Supreme Personality of Godhead. All this knowledge was present in him. But still in previous time, they learned it here, just by hearing. And hear it once, and they remember. This is possible because we can see also in the students nowadays have great difficulty in studying, remembering things, because their minds so much bombarded by so many things. The minds are so much bombarded by sense gratification, they do not have this ekiha krunanina. They do not have this one-pointed determination. They do not have this focus. You see, people nowadays, they're so easily distracted. Just the slightest distraction, they become, So, of course, in previous time, they were a bit more fortunate that there were not so many distractions. And especially when they're staying in the home of the ashram, in the gurukul, in the home of the ashram of the guru, there were no distractions. Very simple lifestyle. So they were able to assimilate the teachings of the spiritual master easily. And of course, being trained from young to be humble, to be submissive, to be obedient, to be have self-control of the senses and the mind. Because of these qualities, they were able to actually properly assimilate the teachings of the guru. This was also described by the qualities of Narada Muni when he was the son of the maid servant. These Bhakti Vedantas, they were staying in the home, and Narada Muni was helping his mother very nicely serving these Bhakti Vedantas. And some of the qualities described about Narada Muni was he was obedient. He was self-controlled. He has a very nice service attitude. In fact, these are some of the qualities described in Bhagavad Gita, describing how one should approach a spiritual master. Tatvidi pranipadina pariprasna sevaya upadeshanti te gyanam gyanina stavadashina. Yes, one should approach a spiritual master, but what attitude? One should inquire submissively, render service, and be obedient. In the purport, Prabhupada also explained about these few qualities. One has to be obedient. Sometimes we hear, you have seen probably many times, in even classes, sometimes the spiritual master may be giving class. And at the end, any questions? We raise our hand, yes, we have a question. As the guru may be answering the question, and then we're fumbling with our tape recorder, or we're doing this, we're doing that, we become distracted by different things. So we inquire, but we're not hearing. Become distracted. So when one inquires, one has to also hear and receive that transcendental knowledge that comes down through disciplic succession. So Uddhava is such a messenger of the Supreme Lord. Very confidential, and when Krishna wants to send a message to Gopi, he can only choose his very confidential devotee. And when he received this instruction in the previous few verses we have described, immediately he got on his chariot. He very respectfully received the instruction from Krishna and immediately got on his chariot and to carry out that order. Be an order carrier. That's how one should serve the spiritual master. Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Isn't it? Actually, in the Vedic time, probably 20, 30, 50 years ago, you find that also. But this changing very much now in the social fabric of due to the degradation of the social structure of society. We find this very much missing. Even in the family, when the father says something, the son, yes. It's just yes. There's no question of disobeying the instruction of the father. In Vedic times, unheard of. If it happens, very, very rare. We find even in the example of Brahma, Lord Brahma, he instructed the Kumaras to get married. And the Kumaras said, forget it. We want to stay Brahmachari. We don't get entangled. By their yogic power, they're able to remain as just young boys. And Brahma became so angry. He said, what is this? Disobeying the order of the father, who is like a guru. So from his anger, but because he was able to control his anger, this rudra came out from his forehead. So even in previous time, we hear how one is trained to be obedient to the father, and later on he become obedient to the spiritual master. This is proper culture. But nowadays, where do we find that? The children is questioning the parent, challenging the parents, arguing with the parents. Sometimes you have to tell so many times before they even hear it. You have to raise a voice, be angry, upset, whatever. So this is a very, very different time. And so it's, actually these are very important quality to have humility, to be obedient. And once you accept the spiritual master, you can do your shopping. You can shop around. But once you have decided, there's no more shopping. Then there's only obedience. And unless one is come to the point of actually able to surrender and be obedient, then there's no point in taking initiation from a spiritual master. The contract is that you accept a spiritual master give you instruction and help you go back to Godhead. And the disciple is to serve, inquire, and be obedient. This is the contract. So, these are requirements in order that the contract can be fully realized. Otherwise, it will be very difficult for the spiritual master to help the disciple on the path back to Godhead. So another thing here, we see here how Nanda Maharaj, when he see Uddhava comes, he receive him very well. He embrace him. He receive him like welcome. And in the next verse, we read how after Uddhava had eaten first class food, been seated comfortably on a bed, and be relieved of his fatigue by a foot massage and other means, Nanda inquired from him as follows. It's shown here how one should receive a guest, how one should welcome a guest. You serve him with first class food, not some leftovers. Some first class food. Seat him comfortably, and after being relieved by foot massage, of course here, in the purport, Sri Jiva Goswami mentions that Nanda had a servant massage Uddhava's feet, since Uddhava was Nanda's nephew. When I read this translation, I was thinking, wait a minute. Before I read the purport, I was thinking, how can Nanda Maharaj be massaging Uddhava's feet? Because Uddhava is like a nephew. Then I read the purport, and it was explained that, oh, okay. He had a servant massage his feet. So this is actually how, this is also a lost art, how to receive the guests. When the guests come, it makes him so comfortable. It makes him feel so at home by offering food. It's stated that even if one does not have much means, he's poor, at least offer a seat and at least offer a glass of water. At least a glass of water. In fact, even if your enemy come to your home, you should receive him. And you should not feel that he's in the home of an enemy. So there are different kind of visitors. Another kind of visitor is a visitor who is unannounced. If a guest comes unannounced, well, he should be received like Narayan. It's like Narayan has come to your door. You don't turn him away. You receive him. Yes, please come in. So these are different. You still see some remnants of it in India, amongst Indian family. The culture is still, to a certain degree, is still there. So Uddhava was received very nicely in this way. And then the sweet words he exchanged. My dear most fortunate one, Nanda Maharaj is saying, my dear most fortunate one, does the son of Sura fare well? Now that he's free and has rejoined his children and other relatives. The son of Sura is referring to Vasudeva. So immediately he's inquiring, well, how is Vasudeva doing? He must be very happy now that he's been released from prison and reunited with Krishna and Balaram. So how is he doing? He's inquiring with sweet words. Actually, Vedic culture is so sweet. The exchanges are so sweet. This is proper culture. When you see how one is dealing with one another, in the way they address one another, the way they speak to one another, the way they treat and deal with one another, there's so much loving exchanges there, so sweet. In fact, I received an email. Did I mention that the other day? Email from a friend the other day from Finland, and right now he's in Bombay. So I was asking, where are you staying? Are you staying in the Radha Gopinath temple? He said, yes. He said, and I always feel so at home when I come here. The devotees, they're dealing with one another so nicely. He said, this is actually a teaching of Radhanath Maharaj. He said, for us to have relationship with Krishna, it seems to be a bit distant. Sometimes for us to, a bit difficult to relate to that. Although theoretically we may understand, yes, we have eternal relationship with Krishna, we should serve Krishna and all that, but maybe a bit distant from our mind, from our consciousness. But devotees are standing in front of us, and it's there. And he said, by developing that relationship with devotees, we learn how to develop our relationship with Krishna. And also Krishna is very pleased. Krishna said, one who claims to be my servant is not my servant, but one who claims to be a servant of my servant is my servant. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also in his teaching, he said, Gopi Bhatu Kamalayo Dasa Dasa Nudasa. He said, I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis. 100 times removed, 1,000 times removed. Just think about it. The more times you are removed, the more mercy you're getting. Directly from Krishna, you get mercy of Krishna. But the more times you're removed, you get the mercy from everyone along that line. Isn't it? So much more mercy. And we should think that our attitude should be, yes, I need all the mercy I can get. I need all the mercy. We should never think that, I don't need this one, I don't need this devotee, I don't need that devotee. But that's neophyte mentality. Neophyte mentality means there's only Krishna and Guru. I just worship Krishna and I just worship Guru and no one else. They do not see other devotees. So we have to get out of the neophyte mentality and understand and appreciate other devotees and learn to develop this culture. Prabhupada said that Krishna consciousness is going to conquer the world by culture, not by philosophy. When we come to the temple, yes, we may be attracted to philosophy, maybe attracted to the deity worship, especially maybe attracted to prasadam. But it is the loving dealings, the loving exchanges between devotees that attract us. And that's what we're actually looking for. Because selling the material is a red race. Dog eat dog society. If a dog is having a bone, the other dogs will come also. No, let me have it. I'm gonna have it. So we came here looking for that love, that loving dealings, the loving relationship. And it is also when there is lack of it that devotees will leave. When we don't find it, and then you think, well, what is the difference? So it's so important to have this culture, to develop this kind of loving dealings. And what is the basis of this loving dealings between devotees? That's described by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Instruction. Dadi, Pradigrinati, Guyam Ajati Prichati. Offering of gift, prasadam, and accepting prasadam. Offering of gift, receiving gift, inquiring confidentially or revealing one's mind in confidence. It's also very important to have a very close friend in Krishna consciousness where, whom we can reveal our mind to. Sometimes there may be so many things going on in the mind. So you go and review your mind and ask advice. Sometimes it's a bit difficult to approach a spiritual master, because a spiritual master is also like a father to say so many things. I remember when I was in Denmark associating with Devamrita Maharaj, I used to go to his room and review my mind. I bounce anything that comes through my mind, I bounce it off him. Anything that just comes to my mind, just I was using him like a, what do you call this, bouncing board. Because I find it easier to talk to him in different things than speaking to my own guru. He was more available. And so he would talk, and we would talk. And whatever doubts I have, I just bring it out. So I was very much missing that when they left Denmark. I was very much missing that. Until a few years later, then different sannyasis will be visiting, and I use them. I walk into the room, talk to them, and just, well, what this, what about that, what blah, 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 so many things. So that was essential. And I consider that as very essential part of my Krishna conscious development. So this relationship, developing this relationship, is so essential in the cultivation of our Krishna consciousness. Dear friends, Prabhupada gave the example from the Hita Upanishad, whereby this king, he was trying to teach a lesson to his sons, his many sons. So one of these Brahmana or whatever came and gave a bundle of sticks and asked them to break it. And they all tried to break it and they couldn't break it. Then one son, he was smart. He took one stick at a time and broke it. So Prabhupada was giving the example. He said, if you're alone, it's very easy for Maya to come and snap us up. But if we are together in the association of devotees, and especially when we learn how to properly associate with other devotees, they're very difficult for Maya to come in to break us up. And we also see over the years how when one is kind of in Maya, he stays away from the association of devotees. He steps back. He's not coming and associate so much. We see all these signs before. Before when we were in Scandinavia, the different countries, when big festivals, we all come to one big temple. From different countries we come. Big temple, and all the temple presidents from all different places will come. And as I said, and we have our regular meetings where we come together. And it happened a few times, as one temple president will not show up, giving the excuse, I'm busy. I'm so much preaching to do. I'm so busy. I have to take care of the congregation and have our own festival here. And the first couple of times we missed the sign. But after it happened a couple of times with others, we realized, uh-oh, here's some danger sign coming from that direction. It's not coming from meeting, it's showing up, sending its representative. It's not coming to associate with devotees and joining the festivals and all these things. These are danger signs. Because we all know, in the association of devotees, it's very difficult to be in Maya. Very difficult to be in the dark, because the light is there. And immediately you say, "Ooh, what's going on? You're Maya." And we don't want that. It's, our false ego cannot accept that. But if we understand, we associate with devotees, especially we have friendly devotees around us. Then someone say, "Prabhu, you are Maya." And they say, "Oh yeah, how am I Maya? Please tell me, please tell me." And then they'll say, "Oh yeah, this is this. They say, "Oh yeah, thank you very much." So in this way we can. Because that's the nature of the mind. The mind can trick us in so many ways. The mind is expert in tricking us. And the more we fall prey to the mind. How often we fall prey to the mind? Thinking, "Prabhu, you don't understand. This is inspiration from Super Soul. I have direct connection with the Super Soul. Super Soul is telling me." But before we get, we're so sure Super Soul is telling us, we better check. Check with other devotees. Check with the spiritual master. I said, "Prabhu, I have this idea, and what do you think? Is this Super Soul or is this the mind, just or Maya just telling me?" If it's confirmed, then we can act with confidence. We can go full on with confidence. So this is very important. And Prabhupada often said, I think he also said that in the purport to that verse, the Dadi Pradigrina, he said, in the earlier verse actually he was saying that. He said, just like businessmen, they form association because they have the same interests. Yes, there are so many associations, so many union, workers union, railway union, engineer union, accountant union, this, that, so many different unions and associations. And they come together and exchange and share their views, and in this way they increase, expand their knowledge and expand in their field of profession. So he says, similarly, we have started this International Society for Krishna Consciousness for like-minded devotees to come together to serve and worship Krishna and to associate. This is the purpose. The temple is not a place just to eat and sleep. Temple is a place to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead and associate with other devotees. So we have to learn to associate. We are the devotees. How to associate? That means the different etiquettes has to be learned. Different Vaishnava etiquette. How for the senior, more advanced devotee, we serve them. Define different ways and means how we can render some service. And to also hear from them. You should not become, especially in the association of senior and more advanced devotee, we should not be like a chatterbox. No, non-stop. You know, you can't, there's not even a full stop there. Non-stop. Because in such association, every time we open our mouth, we miss the opportunity to learn something. Often, we like to hear our own voice. But when in the association of more senior, more advanced, more experienced devotee, we open our ears and keep our mouth shut. Not the other way around, not open our mouth and close our ears. We close our mouth and open our ears. And learn, expose ourselves, and hear and learn. We open our mouth only when he stops talking. And what do we say when we open the mouth? Ask more questions and give him the talk more. And that was what Maharaj Parikshit did. He asked such pertinent questions to Shukadev Goswami. One time even he was asking such nice questions, Shukadev Goswami almost fell off his chair. He was in ecstasy. He hearing the question. And he prays Maharaj Parikshit. Varyanesha pray prashna kvito lokam hitam nipa. And say, your question is very, very, very appropriate. Because the answer to such question is, does not only benefit you, but benefit everyone that hears the answer. And that's a good question. So Maharaj Parikshit was very, he was so eager to hear that he was able to ask a nice question. He asked questions just to churn the nectar of Krishna consciousness. Yeah, please tell me more. After this happened, then what happened? What did he do? And the eagerness. And Sukadeva Goswami just went on and on and on. 7 days, seven nights. Non-stop. Questions and answer, questions and answer. We find that in the book, Perfect Questions for Perfect Answers. That was also another instance of perfect questions, perfect answers. So in this way we serve the devotees. We make friends with devotees of the same, with our friends who are more or less on the same level as us. We make friends with them. Make friendship. Serve one another, exchanges, so on and so forth. And we show our mercy or compassion to those who are less advanced by helping them in their Krishna consciousness, serving them. The whole thing is, the whole basis of this relationship is service, loving services. We serve the senior by engaging in service and inquiring and hearing. The more advanced devotees or more senior experienced devotee, they serve by teaching, by giving some appropriate instruction, by helping out younger devotees, help them in their Krishna consciousness, help them to make advancement, help them overcome whatever difficulty may be. So the service is also there. It's just taking different form. It's not that sometimes when we think of service means we're doing something. We're serving also by teaching. That's also a form of service. So with new guests coming to the temple or someone who is new, we serve them by instructing them, taking care of their their needs, material needs and spiritual needs, and making sure that they are comfortable in their Krishna consciousness, all their things are taken care of. So in this way, all these exchanges are going on there. We find that also in families. Probably you will know, especially from Indian background, some resemblance is still there. The respect you have for your elder brother or elder sister, older sister, respect them. You don't argue. Normally you hear what they say. You take what they say seriously, consider it. And how the brothers, elder brother or sister, they take so nice care of the younger ones, that loving dealings with the younger one. Even when you grow up, the feeling is still there towards a younger brother or sister, isn't it? So this is natural, and this is something we have to. Of course, if we come from the Western background, we have to endeavor more to develop this kind of qualities. But it's so essential in Krishna consciousness, because throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see this kind of dealings going on all the time. We read it all the time. How they address one another so sweetly, so nicely. How they receive one another. How they offer service. And how they speak in a way that makes someone feel really comfortable, and really feel nice. Very, very rare you find harsh words being used. Harsh words sometimes is more painful than physical abuse. It goes right to the heart. When you hit someone, mainly just hit the flesh physically, but the harsh words go right to the heart and stays there. Sometimes it takes longer for harsh words, mental abuse, to heal than physical abuse. So as we are practicing our sadhana, taking our prasadam, part of the sadhana. We should put a lot of effort in cultivating devotee relationship, Vaishnava Sangha. First learn what it means, association of devotees, and practice that relationship with loving exchanges. Then it strengthens our own Krishna consciousness. It strengthens. It's just like when we are many, just like just now in the kirtan, when we are many, how ecstatic, so how easily become ecstatic? Just being carried away by the euphoria, by the enthusiasm of everyone else. Even someone is standing on the side, you get drawn into it even very easily. You just started chanting and dancing. But when we're singing alone, it's not so easy. Remember you're alone in a kirtan with a katao, and you try to chant and respond and dance at the same time. I haven't really seen anyone done that here, or anyway in the temple, singing and dancing in the kirtan all alone.
Arupa.
Huh?
Arupa.
Who? Those are special souls. But anyway, it's possible. It's not that it's not possible. It's possible, the enthusiasm. But what I mean, saying when you're together, a group, it's so much easier. So much easier. And imagine if there are 20 devotees in the temple room, and only 2 or 3 are enthusiastic, and the rest are just standing there, instead of meditating on Krishna, I like to say, you're meditating on your own lotus feet. Actually, they come from Devamrita Maharaj. Instead of looking at Krishna, we're looking at our own lotus feet in our kirtan. It's very difficult for the rest. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he has his kirtan in the house of Srivas Thakur, only the very confidential associate were allowed in the kirtan. And one time, he was chanting and then he stopped. He said, I'm still not feeling the ecstasy. I think someone is here who is not meant to be here. Like bringing down kirtan. So Srivas Thakur went in and found his mother-in-law hiding, trying to find the kirtan. Srivas Thakur, what are you doing here? Ruining Mahaprabhu's kirtan. Get out of the house. So it's a fact. So it's an effort of everyone. When everyone in us, when we are together, everyone put in the effort, it increases everyone else. Actually, that's what teamwork means. You know what it means? Team, T-E-A-M. The actual translation of T-E-A-M. Together, each achieve more. That's what team means. Together, each achieve more. On our own, we can do so much, but together, every individual will be able to rise to a higher platform, to achieve much more. So it's actually everyone's responsibility to their own spiritual life and also to the spiritual life of others. We are in it together. I like what Ravindra Swarup Prabhu once said. We did the Navadip Mandal Parikrama, walking around, camping out different nights in different islands. Then on the last day, we came to Yoga Pit, the birthplace, appearance place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So different devotees were asked to speak the realization from the parikrama. And Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, he said, and that was quite some years ago, he said, I never forget that, what he said. He said, after taking part in this Navadip Mandal Parikrama, I come to the conclusion, either we go back home together, or we're not going to do it at all. It's not a one-man show, basically saying that. You cannot try to go back alone. You have to go back together, helping one another along the way. Some may be a layman. Isn't it, as we go in our Krishna consciousness, sometimes we meet different obstacles. Maybe not sometimes, maybe very often we miss different obstacles along the way. And we get injured along the way. We get a little bump here, a little bump there, a little knock here and there. And sometimes you feel like, you feel tired. due to the influence of the most of material nature is really strong, and we are not fully taking shelter, and we may feel a bit discouraged, we feel a bit despondent, we're losing our enthusiasm, and it's a devotee next to us who is nudging us, come on Prabhu, you can do it, come on, you can do it. And with a bit of nudging, a bit of encouragement, suddenly we feel some strength, and we take a few more steps, and then again, and then and again, hey, come on Prabhu, let's go, come on. We pull from the front, we push from the back, hold up from the side, and we're moving along. This is a nice thing. This is the beauty of this Krishna conscious movement. Prabhupada said, one purpose, he said, to try to become Krishna conscious outside of this Krishna conscious movement is phantasmagoria. It's an illusion, imagination. So we have to become Krishna conscious in the association of devotees. Associate. Sometimes we may be strong, then we help those who are weak. Sometimes we're weak, others are helping us. So in this way we help one another. Help one another. The young helping the old helping the young. Don't think that the older devotees cannot take help from the younger devotee. I personally, I get very enthused when I see young devotees jumping up and down. Maybe physically we are not so as dynamic as the younger one, but still our heart is jumping. Maybe the body is not jumping so much as it wants to jump, but the heart is jumping. That's by seeing all this enthusiasm. And we think, that's how I used to be. I used to jump up and down like that. And it's nice, no? So in this way, everyone is helping one. We are all helping one another. Progress in Krishna consciousness. And that's wonderful. So thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Madhuji.
Consider to be?
A Kanishtha Adhikari who wants to just have dealings with his Guru Maharaj and with Krishna, or no, because he's taken initiation, so he's not to be considered a Kanishtha Adhikari.
Well, after initiation doesn't mean you're not Kanishtha Adhikari. By just by initiation, it's a formality, it's a connection. You still have, like Dharmita Maharaj was saying in the last initiation outside here. Yes, now you've been accepted. You know, in the family, but you still have to do the work. You still, it's not that now I'm initiated and I'm there. All the work is done. Now the work begins, really begins.
Even such a person who, just saw this Guru Maharaj when he's up and who just saw the baby, he's considered to be a Kanishtha?
Yeah, if you don't serve, if you don't see any other devotee, yes. That's how it's described in the Shastra. A description of the what it means to be a Kanishtha Adhikari. Well, that's not what Prabhupada teaches. That's not what Prabhupada, this is just an excuse. Yes, there'll be a problem, there's always a problem. There's always problem in, there's problem in the family also. Does that mean you walk away from the family? Where's the loyalty? We are talking about loyalty here. Loyalty to Prabhupada. Loyalty to the Guru. If you ask the Guru will say, yes, too much power, stay away. He won't do that. Right? So, it's not, it's an excuse, it doesn't fly. You can, as you said, I mean, it's not that everyone is involved in politics. You find all kinds, because this Krishna, is a temple is like a hospital. Just because someone walk into the temple doesn't mean he's already pure devotee. We get the people coming to a Krishna consciousness, all kinds, all shapes and all kinds of illnesses. Some more serious, some less serious. Some mental illnesses. You know? Yet we have to deal with that. And we are part of the, we are also patient here. So we should never come to that point and think, oh, as Maya is giving you so-called good excuses to stay away from the association so they can, she can break you up easily. That's what it is. But one thing you realize in the association, I've noticed that over the years, you always find someone who gives you a hard time. And you always find someone who is very nice to you. To balance out. So that force you go, don't get. Basically, someone is giving a hard time, is pointing out our anathas. But there's always someone supporting us to help us go get through those anathas. One devotee told me, I was lamenting to him. I was a temple president in Copenhagen at that time. And always devotees were giving me trouble. Always. If it's not this one, there will be someone. I was lamenting to him. And he told me something that really hit me hard. It was so hard. He said, as long as we have some anathas in the heart, Krishna will reveal it. And there will be always someone who pointed out to us. So all these devotees come and giving you so-called trouble. He's just pointing out our anathas. And sometimes we don't want to face it. Then we want to stay away. We have to go through the detoxification. We have to take the medicine. We have to take the association. And go and detoxify ourselves. You can take all the vitamins you want. But if the body is full of toxins, not going to do you very much good. So you detoxify, get rid of all the toxin, and then clean it out, and then you're able to absorb the nutrients very nicely. This is actually in His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Maharaj. I think he gave four epithets. One of the things is that if there's a conflict with devotees, the first thing you think is, I may be the cause of that. Consider that point first. That I may be the cause of the conflict. Usually we are very fast. He is the cause of my problem. He's the one who started. He is this and that. You know, I often say, when you point one finger, how many fingers pointing at yourself? One finger point there and four fingers pointing at yourself. So he was saying that one should first consider, I may be the cause of that problem. That was one thing. And the other thing is that the devotee next to you may be the devotee who may be next to you at the time of death. Sometimes we may think, I don't need him. I don't need this devotee. I don't have to have a relationship with him. But that devotee may be the one next to you at the time of death. And that devotee may be the one you need the most to help you face a final moment. Search that out and go through it each day and try to contemplate on those few points, and they're very essential for community and developing from the basis of developing relationship with the devotees. Get us in the right perspective and right attitude. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.